out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears hear my cry for mercy. O Lord, hear my voice. My soul waits for the Lord. In His Word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchman wait for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, oh Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. My soul waits for the Lord. In His Word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchman wait for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning. Israel, hope in the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem. My soul for the Lord. In His Word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchman wait for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning.
Well, greetings everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight with part 3 of the celestial people, the strangers, the pilgrims of this earth. Glad to have you in here. We want you to call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is on tonight. We don't have any storms in the area tonight at the radio station, so we think it will be stable enough for you to listen to us on the internet download by simply going to WWRB 3.185. Click on Listen Live. That's all you got to do with your favorite downloader or your favorite media player. Or you can do this. You can go to oneyahweh.com, and there you can click on Listen Live, click on your favorite media player there, and load us in directly on oneyahweh.com. It is a better sound, we believe, but you have those choices, or you can just do like a lot of people do, listen to your good old shortwave radio. Now, part 3, and this is the final part, unless Yahweh moves on my heart. I've been talking about the family, a family of people. Now, this family is not the average run-of-the-mill people. These are peculiar people. These are people that are special people. This is a family, not in the mainstream, but this is a family that are in the heart of the Father. We are bone of His bone. I just can't emphasize that enough. We are flesh of His flesh. We are on a learning trek, or we are on a timeline, if you will, of soul development. We wanted experiences. We wanted to see, hear, touch, and smell, and feel, and be responsible for the deeds done in our body. Will Christ hold us accountable? Is it that we are to be not deceived, for God is not mocked? For whatever a man soweth, shall he reap that? Will there be a time and a reckoning somewhere down the road, perhaps in another life, that we'd have to meet ourselves and become responsible citizens of the celestial family? I believe that I know that we are all held accountable. Now, the church has got something like this. I believe they err. What they do, they find the scriptures where it says that we, our sins are bought under the blood by a Savior who come to save those from, literally, sin. The sickness in nature, the flesh man. You see, there's an inward man, according to the Bible. Now, that inward man is trapped. He's caught in a trap, and he can't get out. We're of all men most miserable if only in this life we have hope. If this is the first and the final life that we've ever had, if Yahweh holds us responsible for the deeds done in our body, if we have to give an account, if we're not the special family related, bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh, if the church is correct, I believe the church has erred in doctrine. Did you know that men have been held accountable, and women for that matter, to the church? Now, when I say church, there was a time, if you've ever read the Fox Book of Martyrs, you know that the church was the final absolute authority, and the Pope had rule over the flesh man and the spirit man. Now, let me repeat that. Not only did he have control over the flesh man, he had control over the spirit man. And the Catholic Church themselves rejected reincarnation and brought about a teaching that put them in charge of your destiny instead of you. They took it out of your hands. They promised you liberty. But does the church have the authority to forgive your sins? Now, we know that the Catholic Church believes in purgatory. They believe that they have a power after you're dead. Listen to me well now. Because most Christians who are alienated by the doctrine of reincarnation don't really know what went on in the doctrinal instruction of the Church of the Holy See. The question of Giordano Bruno at his trial in Venice in 1592, held responsible, branded as a heretic, condemned to die, and was burned at the stake for preaching that since the soul is not found without a body, and yet is not body It may be in one body or in another and pass from body to body. This was brought up in his trial. He was condemned by a delegation of cardinals acting on behalf of the Pope, burned him at the stake. Now, again, if you've never read the Fox Book of Martyrs, I'd like to go through some of the argument that Mr. Bruno came to believe in. He believed that the church wrongly had took it upon themselves to make themselves, that once you owed your allegiance to the church, they could pray you out of a place after you died, but they didn't believe that you could live after you died. So what they done, they changed the fact that you could to the fact that they, the church, could offer up prayers on your behalf after you died and change your status or your state of being. And so Mr. Bruno stated this in the famous trial in 1592, since the soul is not found without a body, and yet there is not a body, it may be in one body or in another, and pass from body to body, as it gives an account for every idle word and every idle work or every good work. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Yahweh is you. You are responsible for becoming Him. I and you and me. That theory has been lost and abandoned, and the teaching is that we're no longer responsible. It's the church's duty to bear control, total, complete control over you from cradle to grave. They give you infant baptism. They baptize you for the dead, the day against your death. And as we read last night, why or else are you baptized for the dead if the dead don't raise? Now, if the dead passes from one body to the next, and the original scriptures determined that concept and belief, along with Christ, we put Him on the record book last night, and we dare, if you will, anyone to refute what Christ said. Are you going to believe Him? Are you going to believe the traditions of this world? Are you going to buy into Catholicism, which bears or bans the belief that you are in the responsible mode for your soul? Or do you believe in giving your soul over to the church, which has the power to relegate or delegate or pray you out of purgatory after you die? You say, well, my church don't believe that. We're not Catholic. Glory to God. Well, for Mr. Bruno, the ideal of an infinite world, in this case, he believed in worlds, opened the door to the ideal of infinite human possibility. If there are infinite worlds, then why can't there be infinite opportunity in which to explore them? A person, whether in or out of the body, Bruno wrote, is never complete. He has the opportunity to experience life in different forms. Even as infinite space is around us, so is infinite potentiality and capacity and reception, malleability in matter. And when he wrote about the ideal, that the church would later claim that Bruno was not burned for his defense or for his doctrine of infinite world, but rather for his theological errors and belief in magic. But trial records reveal that when the trial was going on in 1592, that the two ideals on the record, you see, a lot of people don't really go back and look at what men and women, for that matter, have endured at the hands of the church who dared anyone to oppose their belief system. And they condemned reincarnation as a theological error. And yet, the evidence supports that they, the priesthood, controls where souls go in purgatory when they are capable, if ever, of leaving, or that they can bind you there forever. Therefore, they are the masters of your soul. And the ideals of the trial records does reveal that both infinite world and reincarnation was the issue that they burned him at the stake. You know, a lot of people think this gospel of truth that's being preached and proven is a lightly thing. I don't take nothing lightly that's truth. The Bible said, you shall know the truth, not told you the truth. The two ideals that Mr. Bruno put forth appear in his original indictment, and they also accuse Bruno, who was still officially, by the way, a monk, of boasting and joking about the final judgment. They themselves became final judge and jury, and for this man's thoughts, they couldn't bear the truth. And his sentencing, and there's even an eyewitness to this fact, he wrote, he tells us that among Bruno's heretical doctrines were those of an eternal universe and an innumerable worlds, as well as libel concerning the statement against the Pope that he had no power, delegation, authority from the Bible to be Lord over Yahweh's heritage, and that a man should work out his salvation with fear and trembling, and the Pope was not the responsible for anyone other than himself, as he himself, as Peter declared, as they say he was the first pope. Peter said, I am also just a man. Don't worship me. And yet today, millions of Catholics are worshiping the beast that Mr. Bruno wrote about, as he condemned the worship of the Pope, and for man to use his knowledge to find the truth of the matter and not to depend on a Pope or cardinals to be responsible for your salvation. Are you going to put your salvation? Are you going to have to stand in judgment for yourself? Are you to seek your own? Are you to be responsible for the acts done in your body or the deeds done in your body? And be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Whatever you've sowed, you're going to reap. It's the law. And this is what Mr. Bruno was teaching. As he argued his points, that he was arguing from the standpoint of a philosopher rather than as a monk representing the Catholic Church. At his trial in Venice in 1592, he said that reincarnation was, if not proven, at least likely, according to the opinion of the 5th century philosopher Pythagoras. Bruno said, "I have held and hold souls to be immortal." And speaking as a Catholic monk, I say they do not pass from body to body, but go to paradise. Remember, he was under pressure and they were threatening to kill him. He was trying to change his stand, speaking directly as a religious monk with his opinion to a philosopher quoting past believers of the topic of reincarnation. I believe that they go to paradise. Now, that's an interesting statement right there. Do men go to paradise after they die? For what reason? Is there a scripture that would indicate that after death you're weighed in a balance? That you survive death? And that you go to a holding pen? Catholics call it purgatory. The Bible calls it paradise. The evidence is overwhelming that men who are worthy as celestial beings, or those who continue their education, we got those that say, "Oh, that person that was born blind, I can't explain why he was born blind, and I've got a good set of eyes. That man in this life hadn't done anything worthy of being born blind. Why would God, in His mercy, to an eternal being, either hold that person accountable for his past deeds, as Christ said, 'You shall reap what you sow. Be not deceived. Think not that I am come to destroy this law.'" That law was the law of reciprocity. You shall reap what you sow. The evidence is overwhelming that people have committed the things worthy of being blind in this life, maimed. I know of some people that live a life of pain, constant pain. Is it because they have inflicted pain and that they're paying? If you are to beware that your sins are going to find you out, the church took the power, turned the word paradise into purgatory or hell, and have told you that they have, if you give enough money, listen to me now, this is the power of the church. This is what's wrong. Men are far too superstitious, ignorant. They put their soul in the hands of someone else. Only you are responsible for the deeds done in your body. And if you inflict pain and sorrow and hurt or take a life, you must give a life or an eye or a tooth according to the Bible. What is reasonable for a just God to let you come with a perfect body, free of disease, and then bring someone else into this life with pain, wretched, aches, disease, deformed bodies, minds, and souls into this life, had it not been something worthy. Christ said, go and sin, lest the worst thing come upon you. And the church has done away with that, saying, come down here and sign the book. We will stand responsible for you. We'll take the place of karma or reincarnation. You don't have to pay for anything, and it's up to us to pray you, even if you go to purgatory or go to hell. We have the power, after you're gone, you don't have to come back. They burnt men who was teaching this doctrine, killed them, maimed them, and injured them, and called themselves the Church of the Righteous, the Church of the Holy Mother, the Church of the Sacred Heart. Ladies and gentlemen, indeed, something is wrong. We do know that Mr. Bruno was deprived of food. They kept him in prison for the greater part of 7 years without a charge. They deprived him of food. They inflicted punishment and torture. They deprived him of books or writing materials so that he couldn't speak from the prison. And finally, around 1599, Bellarmine, the chief cardinal, brought matters to a head. He presented Bruno with a list of 8 heresies and asked him to recant and to renounce his work or his belief. And when a year had passed, during which Bruno probably considered trying to save his life by retracting, like John the Baptist said, are you the one that I was preaching on that was going to come, or should we look for another? Here Mr. Bruno's faith in the darkest hour for his belief that he was an eternal being, that he was a celestial being, responsible, not knowing that Satan and the mightiest church would condemn him as a heretic and kill him for his belief. After considering that if the retraction would save his life, by December of that year, after being condemned, Mr. Bruno stood up in his position, perhaps sensing that the church had no plans to ever release him, whether he recanted or not. He refused to retract. Praise Yahweh! That he had enough, as did John, who was, according to the Messiah, the spirit of Elijah, crying in the wilderness in another flesh body. And for these causes, Mr. Bruno is now facing the wrath of the church that branded him with the power to kill him on February the 8th in the year of 1600. He was led into the Church of St. Mary over Mineralville, and the guards forced him to buckle his knees. He refused to do so, but held himself erect, facing the cardinals with defiance. The words that echoed in the church that he spoke come as no surprise. The Inquisition sentenced him as an impenitent and unrepentant heretic and expelled him and from the Holy Immaculate Church, telling him he had become unworthy, as the records indicate of the trial of 1600, of its mercy. And the indictment condemned Bruno's writings as heretical and erroneous, and placed them in the index of forbidden books. And to exonerate themselves, or to wash their hands of the condemnation of death that they had pronounced upon him, they attached to his indictment a meaningless disclaimer asking that the secular court to be lenient with Mr. Bruno and not to put him in danger of death or mutilation. The secular authorities knew exactly what to do, and Bruno was burned at the stake. Before he was led from the hall, Bruno never retracted, and his parting shot to the inquisitors, "Perchance you who pronounce my sentence are in greater fear than I who receive it." The guards turned him over to the officials of the governor of Rome, who locked him in the Tower of Nomna, a prison on the Tiber River. And in 11 days, he was burned unmercifully for believing that he was going to live again. Oh, what hypocritical church people, and how history of the church and the pain and suffering that it's imposed upon the righteous minds of deep spiritual thinking. If a man dies, shall he live again? Is there anything new under the sun? If it's to be, has it already been? Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth and will stand," in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, "upon the earth in the latter days. And though the skin worms destroy my present body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Is there any truth in reincarnation? The epitaph on the tombstone of Johnny Carson, his favorite quote, "I'll be right back," on the years of the television, that would be his final word when it would break for commercial, "I'll be right back." Are you going to be right back to pay for what you've done in this life? Or are you going to let some church pronounce you free of sin and responsibility, where you can wallow somewhere over there in a purgatory state, pre-adventure, that you've got a family rich enough to pray you out of purgatory and to raise your level of enjoyment even after you die. By conservative estimates, over one-fifth of American adults believe in reincarnation. That includes a fifth of all Christians. The figure is similar for Europe and Canada. Another 22% of Americans say they're not sure about reincarnation, but have often wondered about it, indicating that they are at least open to the belief system, that their minds would dare to go there. But the church, who now doesn't burn you at the stake, literally like they did in the 16th or 17th century when they killed Mr. Bruno in 1599, they condemned him to die, and 11 days later, in 1600, they burn him. He's one of the millions that were burnt for beliefs. Christ told a wondrous story . Paul and Peter confirmed it when he said, "He that ascended, descended into the lower parts of the earth and there preached." You can't preach to the dead if they weren't living in a place called paradise. People say, "Well, what about the thief on the cross? He didn't get baptized and he didn't get saved." You know, they're looking for these little catchy things of their carnal mind that they have no ability to comprehend or understand. It's just a natural thing for the carnality of the unbelieving mind. You see, the flesh man has never lived before. John the Baptist and the carnal concepts that he had, he didn't know that he was Elijah reincarnated, but he had enough spiritual inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Christ alluded to it, he's none born greater. He remembered as he spoke the words, "I am the spirit of Elijah," crying out in the wilderness saying, "Prepare the way of Yahweh and make his path straight." The percentage of Christians in America who believe in reincarnation and are not afraid to express it, like Pastor Buddy, you know, I could care less. "Well, he believes in reincarnation. He must be of the devil. You ain't supposed to believe in reincarnation." See, we bought this Catholic goo, this Catholic buzzer bait, that gives them the power to do all the things that reincarnation does. They turn it over to the church. They've expertly took it out of your hands, your soul, and you've surrendered it to pay the church an endowment to pray yourself out of purgatory or to enhance your state of being after death. That's what the Catholic Church preaches. Percentage of those in America who believe in reincarnation is about the same as the percentage of believers in the general population. This was based on a 1990 Gallup poll, which gave the breakdown by denomination. It found that 21% of Protestants including Methodists, Baptists, and Lutherans, and so on, and about 25% of Catholics held the belief that they had lived before and would live again. Folks, it's naturally in our spirits to know that we are eternal beings, if so be that we are of the family of the celestial beings. We're not a temporary, except in a flesh matter. We are eternal spirits to live forever. In Denmark, in a 1992 survey, it found that 14% of the country's Lutherans, these are the staunch, very staunch, the fundamentalists, that 14% of them believed in reincarnation, while only 20% believed in the Christian doctrine of a resurrection. More people believed that they had lived before than they did that they would resurrect again. Younger Lutherans were less inclined to believe in the resurrection as the older. In the 18 to 30 age bracket, only 15% believed in the resurrection, while 18% believed in reincarnation. These shifts in Christian beliefs mark a trend toward what some scholars are calling a post-Christian religion. In the West, it's a shift away from the traditional church authority and toward a more personal faith based on contacting the God within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if any man have not Christ, you're none of his. Like the Protestant Reformation, it emphasizes personal contact with the Creator and far extends over church membership. But unlike Protestant belief system, it discards some of the principles that have characterized Christianity since the 4th century, when things like hell, the bodily resurrection, and the ideal that we have only one life to live on earth, the Christian denominations are now making an effort to make room inside of Christianity for the ideal of reincarnation and related beliefs. Most Christians don't know that it's about reincarnation. That isn't new to Christianity. Today, the majority of denominations would answer no to the question, can you believe in reincarnation and still be a Christian? They've been taught by the church to say no. But in the second century, the answer would have been yes. If it asked Peter, he would have known. After the discourse with the Messiah, as he taught them, that John the Baptist was indeed the reincarnation of Elijah. Elijah's spirit that was in Elijah was the same spirit that was in John, but two different bodies. That's why he said, no, he couldn't. He wasn't Elijah. The question was asked John. John didn't have any memory, and neither do you. During the first 3 centuries after the Messiah, numerous Christian sects flourished, and the nation, although the Orthodox theologians attacked the belief from the second century on, the reincarnation controversy continued through the 6th century. And among those who were the Gnostics who claimed to possess Christ's inner, more spiritual teachings, which had been hidden from the general population and reserved for those who understood them, the Gnostics' religious practices centered around enlightened spiritual teachers and personal experiences that they had had rather than membership in an orthodox organized church that denied a personal relationship with the eternal. The Orthodox taught that salvation could be granted only through the church. This tenet gave their views strength and longevity, while the Roman Emperor Constantine became a supporter of Christianity, and in 312 A.D., he backed the Orthodox view because he thought that it would lead to a stronger and a safer and more secure Roman Empire, which he ruled. And between the 3rd and the 6th century, the authorities of the church and state gradually eliminated the reincarnationist Christian belief, and their beliefs returned to the features of Christianity like a stubborn wart. Reincarnation beliefs traveled to the areas of the scattered areas like Bosnia and Bulgaria and through the western steeps of the Caucasus Mountains. And they traveled to the areas where they surfaced in the 7th century. And in the 10th century, the beliefs traveled to medieval France and Italy, where they formed a central part of the Catholic sect. After the church wiped out this belief system with a 13th century crusade, followed by a campaign of inquisition, torture, and burnings against those who believed in reincarnation. But it was still kept alive through the 19th century in the secret traditions of the alchemists, the Rastafarians, the Kabbalists, the Freemasons, and they began to teach a secret to hide from the church, to guard their membership, that they would not be excommunicated or burned or tortured or killed in some like manner. But the faith prevailed, the truth prevailed, and the ideal that 25% of Catholics in America today believe in reincarnation, although the Vatican frowns against it, but there is evidence of a silent minority of reincarnationists that belong to the Catholic Church to back up the statistics that I've just quoted you. And I know of many Catholics and Protestants that believe in reincarnation, myself included. I do not apologize. I stand on solid ground with Christ as my witness that the man that was born blind, after the question was asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Let me tell you, your life and the life that you have to come depends upon your conduct. If you sin, sin lays at your door. It must be met with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you're not good to your body, just like in the health vein, you put in bad fuel and you get bad mileage out of your automobile. The same with your natural body. The same applies with their spiritual body. Those who don't believe in hell must ask themselves, does everybody go to heaven? If you don't believe in heaven, Then is there a hell? What about murderers? Christianity has a hard time answering the question, what happens to someone who dies neither good enough for heaven or bad enough for hell? Oftentimes we read the stories about the standard of Christian explanations that it's weak, the argument is weak. For example, stories about seemingly decent people who commit murders in the heat of passion and then take their own lives. According to many Christians, including Catholics, they would go to hell immediately. Although murder is a serious crime, do those who commit it really deserve eternal punishment? Is there no release? Is there nothing to give? You don't have to give back an eye or give back a tooth or give back a life. That's not required of you according to the church. Give us the power and we will see to it that you join the Good Old Boys Club. Let me give you an example. An employee of the city of Los Angeles retired to rural Minnesota with his wife, Lois. This is an account that I just read today in research. And their two adopted teenage daughters were living with them. He got along well with his neighbors. And after retiring, he took a job on a Minnesota farm milking cows. In September 1994, 63-year-old James discovered that Lois had told the police that he was molesting their daughters. Enraged, James came home, killed his wife, shooting her in the back, and then killing the two girls as they slept. He then shot himself. And in his suicide note, he apologized for killing them, but never admitted to molesting the girls. Now, question. Where does the soul of Mr. Cook go when he gets to the other side? Does he go to hell or heaven? Will God really send him to burn in hell for all time? Is there no forgiveness of that incident? Would he ever get a chance to make up for his final desperate act? If there's no hell, or if God doesn't put him there, will he go to heaven? Assuming that his wife and two daughters went to heaven, will they have to share their lives with their murderer for all eternity? Now, the first alternative lacks mercy. The second lacks justice. And only reincarnation, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, offers a satisfactory solution to the dilemma. Mr. Cook must return and give life to those he deprived of life, and they must re-embody to complete their life plans, and he must serve them to make up for their pain that he caused. All four need further opportunity to work out their salvation. And so do many others who die prematurely. Christianity draws blanks on these questions. Why does God allow babies and children to die? What about teenagers killed by drunk drivers? Why do they live at all? And if their lives are so brief, why? Why, God, did you give me Johnny only to allow him to be taken by leukemia? What are priests and ministers of Christianity and the majority say? Their training offers such bland answers as, oh, that must be part of God's plan. You've got to accept it. or we cannot understand what His purposes are. They're far greater than we are. If we had the true teaching, they might suggest that Johnny or Murray was here to teach us about love and is now gone to the other side. Reincarnation is an attractive solution, but the church and its continuing opposition has forced many Christians to carve out their own faith, and they are left in a sort of spiritual limbo, afraid to express their beliefs that they've lived again, or that person must come back and pay for its sins, which is exactly what the Bible teaches. But the church is condemned. And here we are. Here's Pastor Buddy tonight, preaching you the truth, giving you the things to think about. Is it worth being burned at the stake for? It was for Mr. Bruno and millions of others who were mistreated for their faith, that if a man dies, will he live again? Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know I'll see Him in my flesh body. Job lived long before the Messiah. You reckon he might have been on earth at the time? You might want to think about that tonight. I've enjoyed being with you. I've got to get off here. My time is coming gone. Many blessings to you around the radio network. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll see you Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time around the world on WWRB. Tomorrow night I'm off for the Thursday night episode. Just take time to think about this. You can download it on our website, oneyahweh.com. Brother Bob will have this one posted probably tomorrow sometime. And you can replay this, and if you'd like a copy of it, that we can send to you where you could play it and think about it. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you. Write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. Call me tonight, area code 423-259-0606. Or you can call me on my home phone at 423-351-1082. Write me. And this coming week, I'd like to send you this series of the Celestial Family of Yahweh, here to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Many blessings to you. I'll see you Friday night. Around the world on WWRB. I love you. Yahweh bless you.